Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And let's pray first. Father, we pray that for clear minds, for open minds, for light, for revelation, we pray, Lord, that you would help me communicate the message and help us all to receive it, to get revelation knowledge for it, to help us grow and understand your kingdom and the way your kingdom works, Father. And we want to just live a life that would be pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Okay? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I believe the Old King James maybe says faith worketh by love. Okay? And that should be a big, you know, a big red flag, you know. It's like faith worketh by love. I mean, that kind of tells you, well, you know, if I'm believing and trying to use my things for, you know, my faith for stuff that, you know, whatever, and it's not working, maybe I'm not, my faith isn't working by love. Maybe the love, you know, it's like an equation, and if you leave out love, it's not going to work, right? You know what I'm saying? That love is a big deal. The only thing that counts is faith working through love, okay? But before we get more into that, I wanted to talk about the first part of that scripture. So, because we all need to understand what's going on here. It says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." Well, the circumcision was a big deal. It was really a big deal. Okay, and it always had been. And what happens is that there was these guys called the Judaizers. And they were teaching that that the gospel needed that, well, what they were teaching was the Jewish law system. In order to get saved, part of the salvation was you had to be circumcised. This is after Jesus came, died, and rose again, and the church was starting, people were getting born again. They were still trying to say you had to be, they were telling these Jewish men that you had to be circumcised in order to get saved. Okay? That's what was going on. And as we know, it's Jesus plus nothing, right? Right? Besides that, you know, where does that leave the ladies? Right? They can't get circumcised, right? That's only for the men. So, see, in this new covenant that we have with Jesus, it's, you know, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other thing. And so it was a big deal. Okay? If we go back to Genesis chapter 17. You say, you think, well, what's this got to do with today and everything else? Well, everything that's in the Bible is important, and we should know. We should not be naive, right? We need to know what's going on here and why there was this big debate, this big conflict going on here, see, with the new Christians. Because most of these guys were Gentiles that were getting saved. I mean, some, you know what I mean? And they were never under the Jewish law in the first place, right? So most of them probably had never been circumcised. In Genesis 17:9, this is the covenant that God made with Abraham. Okay, you know, that's a big deal, right? Everybody knows that? The covenant that God made with Abraham, that was a big deal, right? And it says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God Almighty. so on and so forth. Abraham fell face down, and he talked about the covenant he was going to establish with Abraham. And then when you get to verse 9, it says, "Then God said to Abraham." So he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised." This was the covenant. This was the sign of the covenant that God had with the Abraham and these Hebrew people. The men all had to be circumcised. "Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant." It will be the sign of the covenant, okay? "Between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised." Now, I think in the hospital these days, it happens. Oh, it's at 8 days? Oh, really? I didn't realize that. So see, this was in the original covenant that Abraham had with God. They had, the males had to be circumcised, and who was 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household, are bought with money in your household, or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Now see, here's where it starts getting real serious. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. I mean, if you didn't do this, you were driven out of away from the people. You were cast out. So this was a big, heavy duty. So this had been going on for thousands of years, right? That was part of the old covenant. That was a sign. Now, now we get into the New Testament, and so many of the Jews had rejected Christ. So now they're going to the Gentiles. God sends them out to the Gentiles, and they're preaching to the Gentiles, trying to get them saved. Well, almost none of these guys are circumcised because it was only the Jews. There probably were some people that were doing this, but most of them weren't. So a lot of these Jews, they call them Judaizers or whatever. They started teaching that in order for you to be saved, you're going to have to get these guys circumcised first. And then they could get saved. That was going to be part of it. Well, as you know, that's adding something to salvation, isn't it? In other words, you had to do something, you know, like somehow what you did with the circumcision was going to help get you saved or something, but it wasn't. It was just Jesus. Amen? Your faith in Jesus Christ. So this was a big deal. It wasn't a minor thing. This argument, this debate, you know, these people teaching. And Paul was saying that being uncircumcised was not a barrier to salvation. You know, it's faith in Jesus plus nothing. Amen? These guys were teaching that you had to be circumcised in order for salvation, is what they were teaching. Paul says, no way. See, this is a new covenant. This is a whole different deal. This is Jesus, and it's faith in Jesus alone. Amen? And so it's important that, you know, we understand what this is talking about here. We just don't read the Bible and go, oh, those are nice words, but you understand what it means, right? So then if you go to Romans 4, and I think that Abraham was like circumcised when he was 99 years old. Wow. And that was no fun. That, you know, you want to do it when they're a baby. But anyway, Romans, you know, they say chapter 4. And and verse 9. So it talks about it quite a bit in the Bible. Romans 4:9, it says, is this, well, I guess he's talking about, well, say verse 7, back up, it says, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Verse 9, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 10, under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? Okay. So when was this righteousness that Abraham had that made him right with God? Did he get this righteousness before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised?
Before
he was circumcised, okay? So that it showed you that was not involved in his righteousness before God, okay? It was not after but before, and he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had faith, that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised who not only are circumcised but also who also walk in the footsteps of that faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now, this part of Scripture makes it clear that the physical operation had nothing to do with Abraham's eternal salvation. Abraham had believed God and received God's righteousness before he was ever circumcised. Circumcision was not the means of his salvation, but the mark or the sign of his separation as a man in the covenant relationship to God. That was the sign that was to be on these Hebrews, that they were in, you know, God's people, separated people, okay? That was just the sign or a mark, whatever, okay? That they were God's people separated, okay? It does not cause you to be righteous or to get saved, right? It's just like baptism. You know, I think we should all be baptized. I was baptized in water, but that baptism is not going to get you saved, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's Jesus plus nothing. Water baptism is just a sign that you're, you know, that you just want to obey God. And it's just symbolic of the old man dying, the new man coming back up, and all your sins washed away and everything like that. But baptism alone doesn't get you saved. But it's good to do it just as, you know, showing that you're surrendering to God. The legalistic element in the early church tried to make circumcision and obedience to the law a requirement for salvation. Remember, the Old Testament law is being pretty much done away with, right? We got a new covenant now. Especially for the salvation of Gentiles, okay? Because now the Gentiles are coming into the church. And before it was just the Jews, right? It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it was a Jewish God and all the blessings and everything that they had. But now, you know, they crucified Jesus and they're rejecting the message. So he sends them to the Gentiles. Man, the Gentiles are like swarming in. It's like, you know, the Jews rejected him, but the Gentiles are hungry and thirsty for this, you know, for this God. Amen. So they're coming in by the thousands and thousands, you know, and they were trying to set up this law that they had to be circumcised, you know. And it's like Paul says, whoa, wait a minute now, you know. They were trying to make this legalistic thing come about. But this heresy was refuted in Galatians, in the epistles, or Galatians, Paul argues convincingly that salvation by grace is by grace alone. Salvation did not come by the circumstances, but it was a sign of the covenant with God. Okay. So, but it was a big deal, and back with Abraham and the law. If you didn't have it done on the eighth day, you know, everybody was in trouble. You could be cast out of the, you know, you'd be forced away from your people, right? And then what would happen to you? See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, and we'll read 17 through 20. He's talking here. Talking a lot about marriage and different things, and wives and husbands, and if one's saved and the other's not saved, and this and that, what to do and all that. But verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all churches." Okay, Paul say, this is the rule I'm laying down in all churches. "Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised." Well, I don't know how you would do that anyway. I was reading that and I think, how in the heck would that work, you know? You know? "Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not become circumcised." Verse 19, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keep God's commands. Keeping God's commands is what counts." Okay? So on and so forth. So he's saying, the circumcision stuff doesn't play into the salvation deal at all. It doesn't matter, okay? Whatever your situation is, then that's the way it is, right? It has nothing to do. It's Jesus, your faith in Jesus plus nothing, right? You know, it's not any kind of law or doctrine or thing that you do or don't do. No, it's just your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to be careful. People will try to add things to the gospel, you got to do this to get saved, you got to do that to get saved, or, you know, different churches, you know, you have to, you know, jump through all these different hoops and do stuff, you know, in order to work your way up and get to heaven or something, you know what I mean? No, this isn't the way it is. It's your faith in Jesus Christ, amen? And you obey, you follow the Bible and live your life by the teachings of the Bible, amen, and the commands of God. But I got a book. You know, when I was in Bible college, it's all about all the cults and things and different churches, you know, and it lists them all, and it goes into what each one tries to make you do and stuff. And you wouldn't believe the stuff in some of the big name stuff that's, you know, Mormons and even the Catholic Church, Jehovah's Witness guys, and just a whole bunch of them, the stuff that goes on. And you heard of the magic underwear? You never heard of the magic underwear? Oh, yeah, boy, the Mormon church. How many's ever heard of that? Lynn has, Claudia has. There's all kinds of stuff you wouldn't believe. Yeah. It doesn't mean that those people are bad. I when I was the first Mormon I was ever on, I was in the military, and it was a guy that was a Mormon. We lived in over in Germany. These barracks that I lived in, there was like 125 per barracks. They were three stories tall. I think I was on the third floor, but there was a Mormon boy there, and there was eight of us to a room. There was four bunk beds, you know, so. And he slept kind of across from me in a different bunk bed, but the first Air Force guy, I think, that won the Medal of Honor in Vietnam was a Mormon guy. And he was, after he left Vietnam, he was at our base, and he would come up every Sunday and get that guy, this Mormon kid, you know, that was in my room, and take them to church, you know. But they were really nice people. They were, you know, I could not criticize them or anything. They had moral standards and different things. You know, they were a moral people, always real nice and everything like that. But that doesn't, being a nice person doesn't get you to heaven. It's Jesus, your faith in Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? You could be the nicest person in the world, hand out roses to old ladies all day long. Help them across the street, and they got to get you into heaven, you know. It's Jesus. You can't get to heaven any other way but Jesus through the blood. Amen? And we were singing about the blood this morning. Now, let's start talking about the other part of that, the second half of that scripture about faith worketh by love. Brother Hagin has a little book. It's a good little, it's one of those little ones, you know. I think they're only 50 cents or whatever out there. But his book, that's the name of the book, Faith Worketh by Love. And he made the statement there in that book that most Christians were missing it, not because they didn't believe the word or things like that, but because of not knowing how to walk in love. That was probably the biggest area where Christians were missing it. I mean, you know, they loved Jesus and different things, and a lot of times they weren't, you know, their lack of knowledge of the word was hurting them, suffering because of lack of knowledge. But the biggest thing that was hurting Christians in all denominations and whatever is not, you know, is the love factor, okay? And he said that faith is the hand that takes the things we need from God, okay? You can't get the things from heaven that you want with a Visa card or money or whatever, gold. It's faith. Faith is the currency of heaven, okay? Faith is the money of heaven. That's how you get what you want from God and from heaven, is by faith, okay? Not being the most popular kid on the block or whatever, you know what I mean? It's faith. Faith is how you get the things you need. Everything Jesus purchased for us on Calvary can be obtained by faith. And this includes salvation, healing, the fullness of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, victory over the world, the flesh, the devil, and all the powers of darkness. You can get the victory over everything by faith. Okay. All these things come to us by faith, but it must be faith that works by love. Okay? Faith worketh by love. So see, maybe we're leaving part of the equation out. And that's why it don't work right. Because of the love factor. Well, you know, we think we just by faith. We can be mean as a snake, but by golly, I'm going to confess the Bible. Right? And I'm going to pray and I'm going to get all this stuff, but there's no love in there. And you wonder, well, why isn't my faith working? Why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? Well, maybe you're leaving out the love factor. You know, I mean, these scientists like Einstein, they got these chalkboards and they got all these equations up there and they can't get it to work out right, right? Because there's something in that equation that's not right. Well, Brother Hagin said he thinks it's one of the biggest things is the love, the law of love. Okay? You know, I was thinking about that. You know, that's kind of like the safeguard God put on a lot of our faith, that if we're trying to use it just for selfish means or this or that, you know, or whatever, it doesn't work right. See, it's like it has to be faith that works by love. That's when you really get the victories and things really begin to happen. It's not something that you're just looking at me, mine, you know, gimme, my name's Jimmy, you know, and all this stuff. It's love, man. When you have love in your heart and you mixed with your faith, it seems like things happen. Amen. And happen good, happen big. Amen? If we are to live in line with God's word, we must not only be a faith child of God, but we must be a love child of God. Amen? We're just too hard and too mean and nasty too much. We need to mellow out and walk in the love of God. Amen? Walk in the love of God. We're letting everything bother us. We're letting our flesh rise up and get carnal and wanting to get even and whatever. Fight it out and get your way or have the last word or whatever. We've got to learn it's love. Walking by law, love is what makes it work. Even those who do us wrong or say things, you know, we love them. Too many Christians do not have any knowledge. They don't have knowledge about walking in love. We need to understand all the different facets of it. The love of God needs to ooze out of us so much that when you walk into a room, it's like there's like a little glow around you, man. It's like, and all they can see is the love of that person. I've been around lots of people like that where you just get around them and you just see the love of God on them. Man, they're just almost glowing. You ever been around people like that? Yeah, some little old lady or some guy or something. They've gotten to that place, man. They're just walking in love and God is just shining out through them. Amen? And they ain't going to say anything bad about anybody, you know? Matter of fact, remember me telling that story about the guy that died, the meanest man in that town that died? And the pastor was burying him. He never would say anything. And finally he just said, well, that guy sure had nice teeth. And he just buried him. That story was in that book when I was reading it the other day. that little story about that. I mean, but see, the love of God just needs to ooze out of you. You know, you got to stop saying things, you know. You got to stop saying bad things and ugly things. I'm not talking about profanity or cussing, but just things that you shouldn't say, criticizing other people, you know, doing other things and negative things and things that are contrary to the Word of God. You know, you just got to start speaking the Word of God in love. Amen. If you just hammer somebody with the Word of God, you can drive them away from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You can use it and try to judge them and use it and say this, and boy, they'll get hurt and they won't want nothing to do with God or Christians anymore. When you talk to somebody or minister to them, it's got to be with the love of God in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Just remember, hey, I was there one day, you know. There was a time when I wasn't saved and I was hurting, carnal and dying and on my way to hell, you know. So it's got to be the love of God in you. And you can say, you can't say, well, I just can't love that person. I just can't do it. No, because the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking the love of God. When you were born again, I'm not talking about your human love, like a mother's love for her baby and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking the, it's called in the Greek, agape love. This is the love of God. You can love them. That's in you because the Bible says, if you're saved, if you're born again, it says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Bible says God is love. Amen. And so we're His children. We're supposed to be like God. We got some of His characteristics, right? Of course, we're not God, but here we're His children. And it just needs to ooze out of us, man. When we don't want to see some old mean prune-faced person coming, you know. Looks like they're going to bite somebody's head off. Nothing's good enough for them. No, it should be a look of love, the love of God. Amen. And just tell your face to straighten up once in a while. Quit being so mean. Tell your face. Look in the mirror and say, smile and walk in love. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes people's face looks like, you know, old Scrooge in person, right? The Grinch that stole Christmas. I told that to one guy one time when I was working, you know. It was Christmas time, you know, or a couple weeks before Christmas, and he was all, you know, just pouting and unhappy about stuff. And I says, everything you said, he'd say something negative, you know. And I said, what are you, the Grinch that stole Christmas? And everybody in the lunchroom just busts out laughing because the guy sat by him, his best friend, was telling him, quit being so mean at Christmas time. And what's wrong with you? And you're grouchy and everything, you know. And I just popped off and said, what are you, the Grinch that stole Christmas? But, you know, we don't want to be like that. Amen. We want to share the love of God. Amen. And love people, even though, yeah, they're sinners. Well, so what? You were a sinner too, right? The Bible talks about how love covers a multitude of sin. Okay. Well, did God love you when you were still a sinner? Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He did. If He didn't love us, if He didn't love sinners, then there wouldn't be nobody going to heaven, right? He didn't love you after you thought you got cleaned up. He loved you when you were just a down and dirty dog, sinner, right? You couldn't make yourself good enough for God anyway, right? He will take you just as you are. I don't care if you're smoking 20 marijuana joints a day. Well, this marijuana stuff's getting out of control around here, isn't it? I mean, they're selling it legally, I guess. That's all we need. We got enough nut jobs on the road already. We got all these people texting. You got women putting on lipstick and eye makeup and everything and going down the road and the cars are swerving all over the place. I know. And now they want to have these guys all smoked up down there driving down the road, right? Besides alcoholics and everything else, I don't know what they're thinking here. You know, some people don't like to listen to the love message because, well, it's not exciting, you know. It's not Star Wars or Rambo. You know, but it does tend to kind of search deep down into your heart when you start talking about loving, you know, the love of God and you walking in love. It kind of makes you look down in your heart and examine yourself a little bit more, like, where am I at? What am I doing? Am I just reacting to the world all the time? You know what I mean? You don't want to be in a position where all you do is react to what the devil's doing. You want to get on like the road? We want the higher road, right? The higher road. We're going to get up on the higher road. Well, the higher road is walking in love, brothers and sisters, right? Do I do it all the time? No. I mean, you could look at me and say, oh, I know Brother Victor just walks in love all the time. I'm so innocent, right? No. No, none of us are. We're all. That was a joke, by the way, you know, in case you didn't know. I got a lot of sense of humor. I like to kid around and joke around a lot. And my wife, she don't. She's a serious person. There's only certain things that make her laugh, and I'm not going to say what it is. Huh? There's certain things that will always make her laugh, but we ain't going there. Anyway. And some, again, this is could be reasons why some of us are not getting answers to prayer, okay? Because of not love, because of not, you know, being motivated by the love factor in our faith, okay? We have to have that real compassion and love of God, amen?
Amen.
You know, honestly, we don't pray for ourselves very often, for needs or this or that. We almost, very seldom do we ever. Most of our prayers are always for somebody else, somebody in need or whatever. You know, we're always praying and want God to bless other people and other things. You know what I mean? And God, I don't know why, we try to follow God the best we can and obey Him, and it just seems like He just takes care of us. Just, you know, that's just the way it is with God, and that's what He will do. Amen? Just believe God. Just don't worry about everything, and just God will take care of it. Just be busy going about the Father's business. Amen? Loving people. Sharing the love of God with other people, right? Bringing them into the kingdom. You know, you can be in the family of God. You can walk with God and still not walk in the perfect law of love. Paul said, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 13. This is I'm trying to see how far back I want to go. This is in my Bible, the little caption over this chapter says, on divisions in the church. There's divisions in the church. And let's start at verse 1 here. 1 Corinthians 1:3, it says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. So he's writing to the church here, and he can't even say you're spiritual. He's saying you guys are worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So, you know, these guys really weren't walking in love and, you know, knowledge of the Lord. They were just living kind of carnal, bickering, squabbling, you know. And he goes on, and in verse 10, it says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, if any man builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So you see, you can be a Christian and, you know, excuse me, and go to church and do things like that, but and just barely get into heaven. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Is that what it says? It says the quality of each man's work.
What chapter is it?
1 Corinthians 13. No, 1 Corinthians 3:13. Did I give you the wrong info? 1 Corinthians 3:13. Okay, this is how you live your life and how you build on the foundation, you know. It says, verse 13, his work will be shown for what it is. Okay, so each person's work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Man, women, too, right? If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. A lot of things that we do in life, it has nothing to do with God. It's only the things that we do for the Lord that will mean anything in eternity. Come judgment time and rewards are handed out or whatever, right? It don't matter, you know, God ain't going to look at me and say, yeah, well, you caught a lot of fish down there at, you know, Foster Lake. That's going to be a plus for you. You get a gold star and beggar reward. That doesn't mean anything. Or if you go hunting or you get a deer or something. It's only the things or how high you went in a corporation or what you did. You know what I mean? It's the things that you do for God and how you conducted your life, right? You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how big your desk is at work or if you got a good parking spot or, you know what I'm saying? It's the things that you do for God. See, it's all going to be tested by fire, right? You understand what I'm saying? And it goes on to say, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. So there's going to be rewards in heaven, right? Don't you want to get your reward? Amen? So when everything that, you know, your life is looked at and it's tested by fire and all the other stuff, junk that God didn't ever have anything to do with, is burned up and it's gone, what's left? You know what I mean? And if there's good stuff left that you serve God and things, then you will get these rewards based on that. But, verse 15, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, okay, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, right? You may not have walked in love and done the things and served God the way he intended you to do, okay? So, and it's up to you. God will not force you to do these things in life, right? He won't force you to do anything. He'll let you. That's the one thing we got is our free will. Okay, we've got our free will. He will not force you to do this, even though he's got this plan for you. You know, we can go we can take a different road if we want to. Okay, but he has a plan for everybody, and there's things, you know, in the Bible and everything else, how we should live our life to do that. You know, one of the things is we are to walk in love, love our enemies, do good to those who persecute you, and so on and so forth. Right? Don't we all know that as Christians? That we are to not be hateful and get revenge, but we are to walk in love, even our enemies and things like that. It says, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, right? Only as one escaping through the flames. I mean, it's like, man, you're in a burning building and you just got out by the skin of your teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get to heaven, there's going to be, they might have to be patting out the flames on you. You know what I'm saying? And scrub you down from the smell of smoke that you just barely got in there, you know. That all your works in life that you did, you didn't do anything that God really wanted you to do. You know, and one of them could very well be that you did not walk in love. And that's the single biggest thing you should be doing. Loving the Lord first, number one, and loving one another's and your neighbors, it should be second, right? And if you do that, you'll never sin. You won't be sinning. You'll do everything that God requires of you if you walk in love. Amen? And boy, I'll tell you, our mouths can just get us out of that love walk so fast. But it's that unrenewed, you know, that carnal part of us that still doesn't seem like it wants to go away, you know? It's always spouting off the flesh. You know what I'm saying? So you can still get to heaven, but it'll be like a man escaping through flames. Like I said, as you come in through the gate, man, they're going to be standing there with a fire extinguisher, you know, hosing you down. That's not the way you want to go into heaven, right? And that's something, though. If it is burned up, if all your works in life and all you've done is burned up because it wasn't from God in the first place, he will suffer loss. In other words, your rewards in heaven will be zero probably. But he himself will be saved because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't obeying the Lord or living the love life and all that. You know, you'll still be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Okay, so if we all of us measured ourselves with God's love, every one of us have to get a big F on our scorecard. If we measure by God's love, okay? Now some of us are walking in love at different times and such, but I mean if we compared ourselves to God's love, it would be an F, right? Because nobody can compare to God is love. You know. We can't do anything about the past, that's history. But we can change the future. Amen? Amen. We can change the future. Okay, the kind of love we're talking about will take the word of God coming from your mouth and your faith, and nothing will be able to stand in your way. See, the love is the big thing that could be missing from your faith walk and your faith confession. If you mix your faith with that love, and love is what is going to cause it to really work, okay? Anything that gets in your way, you're just going to run right over it, man. You're just like a big steamroller. You're just going to go right over the top of it because the love of God. You know, there's a scripture that says, love never fails. Did you ever hear that before? Love never fails. Nothing can stand up before the love of God operating in you, okay? The devil and all his army and everything else can't stand up to you if you're going to walk in love. And your faith is going to be, it's going to be working by love. If the devil stands in the way, you will turn on the love and roll right over him, praising Jesus all the time. Amen? But we tend to forget about the love part and just get mean and I'm going to run over this guy. Well, it's the love of God operating with your faith that causes this love to run right over the devil. He can't stop you because you're operating the love of God, which he told us to do, right? See, we forget about some of these things. We think, wait, why isn't my faith working? Why isn't this working out? Because it could be the faith is the ingredient that we're not operating in properly, see? And the devil knows that. He knows. He sees if you're walking in love or not. In Proverbs 10:12, way back there. Proverbs 10:12, it says, love is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Love is the opposite of hate and all that nasty, bad stuff. Just like doubt or unbelief is the opposite of faith, you know? God is a love God. We are to be a love people. Amen? That's just the way it is. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Love covers all wrongs. Isn't that an amazing statement? Love covers all wrongs. Man. Hatred stirs up dissension, so that's a bad thing, isn't it? But love covers over all wrongs. You know, it seems like the love of God covered our sins, didn't it? Huh?
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but ever. So God loved us and we're still sinners, wasn't it? His love covered over our sins and caused him, because he loved us so much, a people, a fallen people, a sinful people, a rebellious people, hard-headed, stiff-necked, his love just covered the whole thing, right? He comes down here and dies for us, sheds his blood for us. So his blood covered the whole thing, see? Love, 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. You know, that's in the New Testament, way in the back. Right after James, 1 Peter 4:8. Verse 7, it says, this chapter is about living for God. It says, the end, verse 7, 1 Peter 4, 7, says, the end of all things is near. Boy, that's a true statement today, isn't it? Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled. That self-control is a big issue. So that you can pray. Verse 8, above all, above everything, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, sometimes I'll see somebody and I'll think, oh, that person is just disgusting. Oh, I get a creepy feeling and get creeped out and whatever. And then I'll feel like the Holy Spirit tells me, yeah, but you know there's a spirit inside that body. You know what I mean? There is a spirit and a soul. And they may not be able to do anything about the way that body looks or whatever, you know. There is a spirit, a living being inside that body. And Jesus died for them, the same as he did for you and me. Amen? And so be ready to pray and bless somebody rather than be, you know, quick to judge and condemn, right? Be ready to pray for them. Do good. See, love will not work for you until you're born again and the love of God has covered your sins. Amen? When you're saved and born again, then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's not the human love, because human love can turn to hate and that's about a blink of an eye. Yeah. It's the love of God that loves the unlovable, right? God is love. Some of us are unlovable. He loved us anyway and died for us, right? So, in Galatians 6:1, got a lot of little scriptures here at the end, getting close. Galatians 6:1, talking about some of our attitudes here. Is there a Galatians 6:1? No. It only goes up to 5, doesn't it? Or, let's see. Oh, there's 6. All right, what are we doing? 6:1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. How? Anybody reading that Bible? Meekness. Mine says gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. See, this is a kind of an attitude of love. When a brother is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Don't, you know what most people do? They grab the telephone to go tell everybody. Right? Oh, you know what so-and-so did? And blah, 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 blah. Right? That is not love, is it? You can't wait to go tell everybody what so-and-so did? That's not love, is it? That's spreading it around, spreading bad stuff about somebody. Yeah, they may have did it, but do you need to go around telling everybody? You know? If somebody sins, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch out, or you also may be tempted. See, this is kind of an attitude of love towards your fellow person. Yeah, they sinned, and the devil's trying to wreck their life and do all this stuff, but, you know, I'm going to love them, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do something to help restore them and get them back, right?
Amen.
That's the way to do it. Don't just, you know, kick somebody when they're down, right? You've heard that expression before. A brother falls. Somebody said, you know, the Christians are the only people on earth that devour their own sick or something, you know. You know, once a person falls and this and that, you know, everybody gangs up on them, you know, and throws them out of the church or whatever, talks about them and stuff. We don't do that. We try to, you know, bring them back, amen, gently and in love. That's the spiritual, that's the mature way to do it. You know, how many times, how would I want to be treated, you know, if I sinned and fell or something and it became, how would I want to be treated, you know? How would I want people praying for me, or just everybody talking bad about me and saying, we don't care about him, he's going to hell and blah, 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 right? Oh man, you know, you want somebody praying for you that really loves you, that cares about you, that's spiritual enough and mature enough, right? And has the love of God in them, that's going to help you and pray for you, get you back, you know? In the Amplified translation, it says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, those who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness. Keep an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Even the gifts of the Spirit operate by love. Okay. You know, in the love chapter, chapter 13, you know, it says, like, if you give everything you got to the poor and all this, be burned at the stake and all this, if it's, you know, if you don't have love, it's for nothing. All the tongues and prophecy and all this stuff, it's not, doesn't mean a doggone thing. You just might as well beat a garbage can lid with a hammer, as far as God's concerned, if you don't have love. See, so we can't go out and say, well, I did this and I did that and I'm so spiritual and all this stuff. If you don't have love, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything, right, to God. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the love chapter says? How many of you ever read the love chapter? Chapter 13, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's just all about love, and it talks about that. So, love doesn't go around blabbing about all the faults and sins of other people. You know, Jesus showed perfect love when he forgave those who were responsible for sending him to the cross. I mean, he's getting crucified, and he goes, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Even Stephen did that, right? Stephen, when he was being stoned to death. Can you do that? People that hate you and are throwing rocks at you, man, killing you? Could you pray for them? Oh, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Boy, that's big time love, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we're trying to kill somebody that said something bad against, you know, at work or something like that, you know. We've got to be more spiritual. We've got to see this love bit, you know. Faith worketh by love. Amen? So you want to, you know, if your faith is not working and you're not getting the victories that you want, could it be that maybe my faith is not working by love? That I have other ulterior motives or something, you know what I mean? Because the love is the ingredient it's the biggest ingredient there is. Your faith worketh by love, right? That's the energy. That's what makes it really work right. The way God wants it to is your love. Some of the hardest times to walk in love is when somebody really says something hurtful or bad about you. Your love has to really go to work. You must love them and watch your mouth. Be kind. Pray for them, right? Like, Lord, help them. Lord, bless them, you know. That kind of praying. Not praying, you know, Lord, grind them into dust. They're bad people, you know. No, you don't pray that way. You pray, bless them, help them, right? Amen? Brother Hagin said, you know, that you could pray. You can make confessions all day long. You know. You can quote the Bible day and night. You can fast and pray, and you still won't get anything if you're not walking in the love of God. Okay? That keeps things from working. That's the secret, okay? The love walk. Two scriptures. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 3. we must, here in this Bible says, imitating Christ's humility. Okay? Imitating Christ's humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Okay? But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Amen? We should not just be concerned about looking inward, me, mine, right? But looking outward, who can I minister to? Who can I pray for? Who can I help? Amen? That's more important. Just, it's kind of part of like being a giver that we talked about earlier when we took up the offering. The giving can be in a lot of different ways, not just money, but how can I, not just looking at my needs and this, but looking at other people and their needs. How can I help others? How can I minister to others? That's a key thing there, because you reap what you sow, right? And if you're sowing to help other people in all different areas through just being their friend or whatever, loving them, it's going to come back on you. Amen? You reap what you sow. But in Philippians, okay, so we read that. Last scripture, Philippians 4. Just turn a few pages. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Don't let your mind go down into the gutter. Amen. Thinking negative things, critical things, bad things. It says, the Bible even tells you what to think about, doesn't it? Not only how to live your life, it tells you what to think about. It's told you everything. He's not holding back. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about. Another thing, get your head up on that higher road that we were singing about. Get your head and your thoughts up there, up on a higher level, because the devil will get your thoughts down in the gutter, man. You can wake up in the morning and be sleeping, and wake up, and all of a sudden you got all this trash floating through your head. Where'd that come from? Right? Cast it down and begin to think on good things. Amen? And let the love of God work through you. Amen? And you'll see your faith working, and you begin to get the victories that you weren't getting before. Amen? Faith worketh by love. That's not a hard scripture to remember, is it? Let's all say it. Faith worketh by love. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, that helped me a lot. We need to make adjustments every once in a while, right? Fine-tune our thinking and our things. We didn't pray for Evelyn. We were supposed to pray for Evelyn. Evelyn.